as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Verbal Echo Podcast. Today I have Patty Fields. Patty Fields is an author and spiritual message channeler. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you, Monica. It's great to be here. My story starts actually way back in 1991, and I had a spontaneous spiritual dream. At the time that it happened, I actually was experiencing and did experience a really horrible, devastating event. I was 9 months pregnant for my second daughter and went to have an ultrasound right before delivery. And the doctor had told me that my baby had died. So when that happened, before that, I was a practicing Catholic, went to church, did service work and that kind of thing. Really, that was the extent of my spiritual awareness. And when that happened, everything just fell apart. Everything that I had believed in, all the rules that I had lived by, it was just like falling into a pit. So that we had the funeral for Amanda. And that night I had just the utter feeling of being so alone. I didn't even have a ground to stand on. I didn't believe in anything anymore. And I had a dream that night. And in the dream, I received a message that I was being held. And that even though I felt like I was dying, that I was being held by this spiritual energy. And when I woke up, I had no idea what I had just experienced. I was like, whoa, what was that? And as I went through that grief experience, that opened up the channel and I started to just receive these amazing messages when I would fall asleep. So I hadn't heard anything. I didn't know this even existed. I mean, come to find out it's a thing, but I call it, spiritual dreaming, where I would intentionally start using my dreams to access inner guidance, to have awareness, to learn about what I was really struggling with, and also had healing experiences in the dream state. And from there, I decided to study A Course in Miracles, and it seemed to have some kind of a foundation, a teaching to help me understand my experiences that I was having. And when I started that study and practice, I then started opening up to what I call visions. And visions are really I would say, like a spiritual dream, but you're in a meditative state. So I would go into my meditation with a question or a concern. And in that meditative state, you know, where you're still aware, you're still in the room, you're still aware of your surroundings. And I would have these visions. And in the visions, I was either given instructions, I was given a deeper spiritual understanding, sometimes I would experience expanded states of consciousness, and it would either solve my problem immediately, or I would have a clear direction. So these dreams and visions started to be my go-to. That was actually becoming my spiritual practice of understanding that I had this way or this channel to communicate with a realm that had wiser than my limited perception and my limited understanding of what I was dealing with. And the answers were so outside of my normal way of thinking, and they were always spot on. They were always very helpful.
That's really, thanks for sharing that. And I'm so sorry about your loss. That the process of grief, it sounds like, was part of this gateway to finding this space that you used for healing.
I think that I would say that was one of my main learnings. I had some kind of a previous understanding, that probably from my Catholic upbringing, that there are certain things you need to do to prepare or to present yourself, whether it's to God or to the world. You had to be a certain way, you had to think a certain way, you had to pray a certain way. And for that to happen, where I was given a healing message in the worst moment of my life. And in fact, it wasn't just the worst moment. It was the moment that I did not believe in God anymore. It was the moment where I was throwing everything out. I didn't believe there was a God. I didn't believe in anything that I was taught before. And it was the opening. And I find that to be one of the most encouraging messages that I share with people, is when you are at the end and you are open. And when I say open, I mean truly open. You have no beliefs, no understandings. It is truly the I don't know. But it's, for me, it was even more than the I don't know. It was the throwing out of everything, because it no longer made sense to me. And then it opened up, and there I was in this realm communicating with this essence or this presence. I mean, everyone has a different name for it. And it came to me in symbols that I could understand. And I think that is also part of spiritual dreaming, is I find that the spiritual realm, our soul, our higher self, uses things that we understand, because the purpose is communication. So if you want to communicate, you're going to communicate in a language that makes sense to the person that you're trying to communicate to. And I've never found it to be confusing or abstract, or it was just so clear, and they were personal symbols to me that made sense to me. So that's the other takeaway too, is that when we're really in moments where we need help and we're open to any answer, any understanding, we don't have to do mental gymnastics to figure out the answers. It will come to us in a way that makes sense to us.
It was speaking to you in your language.
Correct. Yep.
Not in something that you couldn't understand, but it was speaking to you in your voice and your symbols and the things that made sense to you throughout your life. And that's how you knew what it meant when the messages came through.
Yes. 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 And there are universal symbols that, if we're talking about spiritual dreaming, particularly how we use our dreams to receive messages, there are universal symbols that can be used that you can, you know, anybody can Google the dream interpretation symbol of a snake or something like that. But also there are personal symbols that the spirit will use to communicate something to us. And it's really the awareness of using the symbols. The interpretation of dreams is also very spiritual and intuitive in nature as well. You can do a little bit of analytical, but mostly it's about using that sense, the inner sense of the message and discerning what that message is for you.
So it can be very subjective based on who you are and the experiences you've had and that sort of thing.
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm assuming that you go over all of this in your book. Can you tell us a little bit about your book, like what the format is and what kind of topics you cover? Is it for the novice, the person who's just getting into spiritual dreaming, or is it for someone who has more experience?
That's a great question. So what happened to me when I started studying A Course in Miracles is I actually started to teach. And in my teaching, whether I was holding study groups or retreats or workshops for students who are studying A Course in Miracles, I would often use my dreams. I would say, oh, let me explain that by a dream that I had. And so I would either share my own personal experience of practicing that particular teaching, and then I would say, oh, I had a dream. And it got to be a joke where people say, oh, you had another dream. And those were the first times I actually publicly spoke about my dreams, because they were very personal to me. I didn't really think that maybe they would be helpful to others because it was so personal to me. And then I started to share the dreams and with the class or the students or whatever. And their response to the dreams was like, oh my gosh, it was so helpful. That really brought it home. And then they would start to ask, did you have a dream about that? My dreams would actually be the thing that would stick with them when they were trying to practice like one of their workbook lessons or things like that. So that was my first understanding of, oh, these messages may not just be for me. You know, it's personal, but it's also universal. So loved that, loved using my dreams in that scenario. I was totally fine with that. Great. And then the students started to say, could you write these down? Like, I want to have something I can actually read. So, you know, most of what I do or what I've fallen into hasn't been pre-planned. And I would say sometimes I go in with a little resistance because I'm not a writer. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to write a book. It's a lot of work. I don't want to write a book. But they're asking me for it was my motivation. I'm like, oh, maybe it would be helpful for them to read it in a book. So I started to write it, and it formatted in a way that I would not have predicted. It's very much for the, I'll say, a novice. But what I mean by novice is just having people understand, you know, the basis of spiritual dreaming, which is the very beginning. I go through the history of how this has been going on for ages, where people receive messages. And then I do talk about a little bit about how you access your messages in your own dreams. And at the end, I offer a guide that I came up with what I use to receive messages and dreams. So that's the guide at the very end. But the format was interesting. So how it starts is every chapter is a dream, and every chapter is a universal problem. So I start with the background of, this is what I was experiencing in my life. This is what fears I had. This is what, you know, what relationship issues I had. This is what abundance issues I had. And then I explain the dream in like a storytelling. So I tell the dream in a way that it's captivating. Like, people want to read it. It's like reading a fiction story. And then after the dream, I have a commentary. So part of spiritual dreaming is you take you take the message and then you discern what that message is. So I go through my commentary of how I discerned and worked with the spirit and my intuition to discern what that message meant and how I was supposed to put it into practice, or what occurred after that, and how did that actually make a difference in my life. And then at the very end, I end every chapter with contemplation questions for the reader. So I say, pretend this is your problem, or maybe this is your problem, that's why you're reading the chapter, and listen to the dream as if it's the spirit talking to you. And here are your contemplation questions that you can apply to that situation in your life. And so every chapter is formatted that way. So it's very, it's not a, you read from cover to cover necessarily. You might look at the table of contents and say, oh gosh, I'm really having that problem. I'm going to flip to that chapter. And then I'm going to do the contemplation. And it, you could spend a week or 2 weeks or a day on every chapter or everything. So it's a hands-on practical book, but it's also a storytelling book, but it's also, so it's a different kind of dream book. It doesn't really fit into any particular category that we've seen out there. But I wanted to make it usable, like my students found it usable. That was what was important to me, is they actually took my dream and then used it in their own life.
So it sounds like these are common issues that are universal. And you've kind of, it sounds like it's a little bit like a workbook, sort of like a course almost in your, within your book, like you're learning, but you're also doing these contemplation questions so you can like expand on it and take it home and work on it a little bit as you need it. And you can flip through the different sections or chapters and based on what's going on in your life. Is that kind of a good reflection?
Yes, that's exactly it. I had somebody read it who, you were talking about the audience, and I play pickleball. And so I love pickleball because it's a hodgepodge of all different people that you would never meet in your life, you know, and it's such a beautiful way to, a melting pot for us. And so they found out that I had this book published. So a couple people who were not, I would say, not spiritual, not in that realm, but they were very much in the self-help world. So they read it, and one of the reviews on Amazon says, you know, this is one of the best self-help books I've read. And I think it's because people dream. Dreaming is very common. It's a way to connect with each other because we all have this universal experience of dreaming. And we all have universal problems. We all have these problems, whether it's a relationship problem, a money problem, a fear problem, a health problem, a guilt problem. And I think it can help a lot of different people coming from a lot of different backgrounds.
Very universal. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, yeah. So if someone was interested in expanding on this, a couple of questions. First of all, how would you kind of describe intuition? I mean, it's kind of a buzzword out there. There's a lot of it floating around, and I don't think we really have a real clear definition on what intuition is or how it can show up for people. And I think from my background, I believe that everyone is capable of tapping into intuition. And a lot of people have it and they're not listening. They don't listen and they doubt themselves. And so how would you kind of define intuition and how it plays into like receiving guidance in your everyday life? And not so much held up on a pedestal, but just everyday intuition, that how it shows up every day.
Mm. And that's a great question. I love that question. So I will have to go back to one of my issues or problems, personal problems, about accessing answers outside of my own limited intellect, is that my voice got in the way a lot. So why I loved dreaming was I put that voice to sleep and I was able to tap into something. Now, we do have different kinds of dreams. You can have a fear dream that's still that voice that's trying to bring to your awareness, okay, I'm I'm really nervous about this meeting I have to do the next morning. And so, you know, I'm always late in my dream. But that is a layer of dreaming. The spiritual dreaming is, I would always joke and say, I basically have to be unconscious in order for me to tap into what I would call intuition. Intuition to me is our deeper self. It's an awareness that stands beyond our four walls. It's almost as if you're lifting yourself up above the trees and you can see the broader picture. You can understand a more expanded view. You can see everyone's heart and background. And you have so much more information than you do if you're on the ground just looking straight at a tree. So when I think of intuition, I think of expanded awareness that gives you information to me that always feels loving for everyone involved. So for instance, my intellect might have a strong judgment about a particular interaction I'm having or a conflict that I'm having. And I have my own view. They have their own view. We have both of our pasts are coming into play in this conflict. And I have my own ways. This is how I want it to work out. If I have an intuition hit, or if I'm in meditation and I have an awareness, or I'm dreaming and I have an awareness, or I have a vision, it's almost as if I'm lifted above the ground and I'm taken into a space where I see everyone's heart. And that is always important to me, because I might judge somebody harshly on the ground, but when I'm looking from a spiritual perspective, I see the same behavior, the same interaction, but it's never without judgment. It's always with a loving view of everyone. And that to me is a feeling that I have where I know, okay, this is coming from a deeper self, a deeper part, or a more expanded part of myself. It's almost like what you would hear sometimes with near-death experiences where they have life reviews, but they review their life from a loving perspective. So you can still see, okay, here's where this is going. This is what might be best for both of you. However, there's no personal judgment against anybody, even ourselves. Sometimes we judge ourselves harshly more than we would judge someone else. And the spiritual perspective never judges. It never sees us that way. So that is my first clue when I've gotten something from a perspective that's more expanded, our soul or a higher self, is the feeling that I have about everyone involved, including myself. So everyone has this. Like, this is what I've learned. I am just a normal person. I say, I'm just a normal person. I have, you know, children, live a normal life. But when I tapped into this in my dreams, it was my awareness that, oh, if I can do this dreaming, everybody dreams. If everybody dreams, everybody has this inner self, this inner knowing, anybody can tap into it. So then I was like, okay, well, why am I tapping into it? And how do I help other people tap into what is there, what is always there for everyone? So I'm not sure if that completely.
I'm curious if you've done any. Oh, no, that's great. I love the dive into the heart space and from a loving perspective without judgment. I think that's really important for any mindfulness practice. And this is kind of a mindfulness practice. And I'm wondering, kind of a sciencey question, and you might not have an answer for this, but I'm wondering if you've done any research into different brainwave states and how we can use those in our dream state. And maybe that's why we can tap into this intuition. I'm not a scientist, but I'm curious if you've done any reading or research on that.
I haven't done that particular research. I do know that when I generally get the dream that matters, the dream that's really giving me insights, it's usually right before I wake up. It's usually when I go into that last cycle and I come out and I'm very aware that I just had an amazing dream. I've had some things in the middle of the night. If I wake in the middle of the night and I can tell whether I'm not sleeping deeply, I'm generally just skipping around in my head, you know, just that layer of dreaming. So it has to do with the deeper sleep. But what's interesting about me, I don't know if it's interesting, but it's interesting to me. I generally don't want to educate myself on things that are happening to me intuitively. And I do that because I can tell my intellect is trying to understand it. And understanding is okay for feeling secure, feeling peaceful about what's happening. Sometimes we have to say, I went to A Course in Miracles to try to understand what my experiences were. And that is a certain amount of understanding. But when it comes to like the technical aspect of it, I always go back to, I didn't know anything. I didn't know about dreaming. I didn't know how I was making it work or what was happening. It was just happening. And that sort of spontaneous happening, I can tell my intellect can get way too interested in, let's figure out the details of that. So I discern if exploring is helpful because I need to have integration, and integration is important. Or am I exploring to get back into my intellect because that's where I'm maybe more comfortable? I don't know. So I've never really dove into dreaming except to find some validation that, oh, this is a thing and people have been doing this for, you know, thousands of years. Okay, then I can move forward with it and use it more in my life.
I think it's so cool. I always like to dive into the science just because that's the way but really when you think about it, it is both sides of your brain. So
yeah,
I mean, you're trying to understand intuition with the other side of your brain, and that just seems like such irony. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Like, it's really cool to understand it and read about, oh, there's this, the delta and the, I mean, like, I don't know. It's really interesting. Like what happens in mindfulness and meditation and dreaming but really when you think about it, it's just a bunch of scientists trying to understand what the sages have been doing for thousands and thousands of years. And you can kind of picture them sitting there going, yeah, we know all this, but if you want to go down that rabbit hole and stick a bunch of electrodes on somebody's brain in a lab, like, okay, that's fine. We'll just sit over here and do our meditation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of irony in that, but I just thought I'd answer that question. But
can I just take you back a little bit? Just as a final thought about that is our intuition, what I find is science, we're trying to prove what our intuition, let's say we're trying to have tangible evidence of what we feel. And I find tangible evidence to come from experience. So in other words, this is what the focus was on my book. If I applied what I learned in the dream, or something happened, some healing happened in the dream, what's the evidence that actually was something real for me? And I look at my life. I look at my life experience. Okay, did my relationship dynamic change? Did something occur that is unexplainable? Just somebody showed up in my path? Or, you know, where's that tangible evidence in my own experience of life? And that is the validation of my intuition. So intuition, you're kind of going on no evidence, and you're just, it's intuition. There's no physical evidence yet of what you know. And then when you act on it, and then you see, okay, is there evidence now? And again, that's experiential. It's, I couldn't explain anything about it. It's sort of the mystery of everything, where it's mysterious, and that there might not be an explanation that we can point to, like in a math book or a science book, but I have the evidence of that in my life. And that's how I handled it in the book. It's like, okay, here was the message I received. Here's what happened. This is what, so then I look back and go, oh, I followed my intuition, and that made it, you know, real to me or true to me.
It was a lived and real experience. You don't need to have data points.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The life is the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So you mentioned this Course in Miracles, and you taught this Course in Miracles. Do you still teach the Course in Miracles, or is that kind of in the background?
I don't anymore. I stopped in 2018. And again, that was an intuitive sense where that part was coming to an end. One of the messages of A Course in Miracles is it takes you through this workbook, which basically is trying to quiet the voice of your intellect or your ego or whatever you talk about, say your limited perspective, and listen to the spirit. So at the very end of the workbook, which is 365 lessons, which I did at least four times, so 4 years at least, at the very end, it says, okay, now you can trust your relationship with the spirit. And so go forth, you know, it's like, go forth, because now there's no format. It's more just, okay, now you have to go and feel what that's like to listen to that inner voice. And everybody is going to be different. It's just all going to be individualized. So at that point, I love teaching it. I love bringing students and people to that inner awareness of their inner spirit and the letting go of the fear of letting go of our intellect or our ego or the ways we see our world, our perceptions of the world. And by 2018, I've been doing it probably 11 years, I think. I knew something was coming. I knew something. I was listening to that spirit voice. I was, okay, now I'm expanding into something else. So the framework of it, of teaching A Course in Miracles, it's always my foundation. It just will stay with me forever. But the framework of actually teaching it, I knew I had to let it go. And I didn't know what was going to come next. I was just like, I have to let it go and I have to see what's next. And I remember telling my students and things like that I was going to be ending, and it was this sense of, okay, now somebody else can come in and teach or guide or whatever they feel, if they feel that is part of their path and really going to deepen their spiritual experience of themselves, then they can step in because I'm going to step out. And so that was following my intuition. So I ended that in 2018.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. I like the background. There's a lot of information out there from a lot of different people about what a spiritual guide is. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious what your kind of definition is, and how that kind of showed up for you.
Yeah. So my first encounter with an actual spirit guide was in a dream. And this is what happened after 2018. In 2019, I had a dream, and in the dream, I met what I call my spirit guide. It was my first experience of knowing I had a guide, and the dream was meeting this guide in this conference room where I was going to go and learn about something. And I knew a little bit about the subject matter, but I knew that I needed to expand more and learn more. And so I go in with my notebook already into the conference room, and this man walks in, and I'm drawn to him. He's dressed in like colorful robes and just this vibrant, peaceful person. And I am just literally drawn to him. I can't take my eyes off him. So I go closer to him, and there's 100 students at least in this class, but I'm the only one that's sort of like going up to him, and I'm asking, he's just chatting with me. We're talking about nothing really. And I had this moment. I said, I want to learn everything that you know. And this man I knew in the dream that he had experienced, he had gotten to his state of being through life experiences, like living a human life. And it was clear in the dream, he didn't get there through what I'll call a meditative state, you know, where you go by yourself to the mountaintop and meditate and reach that state. He got to that state of being through living a life. And I was so interested. I said, I want to learn everything you know. Can I interview you? And he said, sure. And then as the dream ends and I'm in that half waking, half sleeping state, I have my eyes closed and I see words images of words, and they're like parading across my mind, and they don't make any sense. They're just like four words. And so I see these four words, and then my alarm goes off in the room, and the DJ is saying the exact same four words. So I pause there. I'm like, what is happening here? What is happening? So
that's awesome. I love it.
I was just like, that was unexpected. So this is what I do, and this is what I would encourage anybody listening to do. When you have a dream, I just laid there. I didn't write anything down. I didn't want to engage my intellect. I just laid there and relived it, soaked it all back in, and didn't try to understand it. I just was, and just let it be in my beingness. And then I got up and I sat in my chair and I thought, something amazing just happened and I need to follow it. Even though it seems crazy, I need to follow exactly what that experience just told me to do. So I have a dog and a cat and they're laying on the bed looking at me crazy. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a recorder and I'm going to close my eyes. And if I see words, I'm just going to speak them, because that was what the experience was. And I knew it had to do with the guy in the dream, that I wanted to interview him. So I close my eyes and I start seeing words. They make no sense to me. It's not like a sentence. They're just words. And I speak them in the recorder and I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is crazy, but I trust my dream. So I'm just going to do it. So as a result of that, I every day I did this for 4 months. And as a result of that, it ended up being 50 messages. And at the end, I was given the name of the spirit guide that I met in my dream. And his name was Nishaya. And I wrote it down at the very end. And I looked at everything and I'm thinking, this is a book. I had no idea it was going to be a book. Like, this is a book. So that's the story of my second book, but also my story of meeting for the first time a spirit guide.
Wow. That's awesome. I love this. I like hearing the story about how this whole process of how it started in the beginning and your journey to get to this point and becoming an author, and how you were really just guided from this. It's just such a rich story. If someone wanted to get started in this practice, what advice could you give them?
Yeah, so I love to tell people that people want to really try to tune into their intuition or their inner self, their inner knowing. I love to guide them to do it through dreams first. If they happen to be someone who, you know, can go into a little bit of a deeper sleep, and there are many people these days who have trouble sleeping. Sleep is an issue for a lot of people. I completely understand why. But if you happen to be someone who is able to go into a little bit of a deeper sleep, I actually have the guide on my website that they can just go to and get it. And I go through the steps of, and as in anything, there's steps, they're guidance steps. You don't have to do it. It's not like you have to follow that. There are two things that I found most important to receiving messages and dreams, getting my intuition hits and dreams, is I try to start with honesty about where I'm at. I'm not positive spinning it. I'm like, I really hate this person. Because I have so much hate in my heart right now. I don't want to have hate. Or I'm really angry, or I'm really afraid. I'm terrified. You know, I try to be honest about where I'm at. And then I remember this one important thing that I've learned throughout all these years is there is wisdom that wants to help and is trying to find a way in. It's trying to find a way to communicate with us. So I think of it as this information is all around me. Because there's a lovingness about it. They meaning whatever spirit guides or your angels or your true self, wants to help us navigate what we're going through in a loving, peaceful, gentle way. And I am trying to tune in. So I'm trying to turn the radio station to tuning in to where I can hear what's always playing, what's always there. And that's important, I think, for many of us to know, is that we're just trying to tune in. It's always there. It's not like we have to, call it up to us, or do flips and do all kinds of rituals or things like that. It's just trying to tune in. So how do we tune in to what is trying to communicate to us and help us? So the honesty is number one. And number two is the willingness to know something beyond what I currently know. So let's say I have a really strong judgment about someone who happens to be doing something, and I feel like I'm absolutely right in how I'm seeing it, and there's no other way to see it. If I have that sort of stronghold on my ideas, it's not to say the spirit still can't get through, but it's easier if I say, look, I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to see this from a broader perspective. I'm willing to see this from a loving point of view. I don't want to hold on to the hate, the anger, the judgment. That willingness is really all you need. You just need a willingness. You need honesty and a willingness. And that's it, really.
I like that. So it's being honest, being open with the heart space, which is what you mentioned before, being vulnerable, and just kind of being in that place of receiving. And finding some gratitude, kind of like all these wonderful mindfulness genres.
Exactly.
Oh, wonderful. So you have a website. And if you could just tell us a little bit about what you can find as far as the content that you have on your website. And then, of course, we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
My website changed in 2019. It was very much geared toward A Course in Miracles students. And I do still have that on my website. I have a lot of free resources for course students, some lesson commentaries and how to work through the workbook and generalized ideas about A Course in Miracles. That I did keep that page. But the website started to reflect more about sharing these teachings that I'm receiving. And that's basically the emphasis of it, because they're so helpful to me. And I figure, well, maybe they'll be helpful to others. They've been impactful in my life. So I have some of the free resources I have is a lot of the single channel messages that I get. And so I get a lot of them every day. I'll get something. And if I'm called to share it, I'll put it on my website. So they can access that. I have some videos on there of dreams that I've had that I feel like are important universal messages. So I have a page dedicated to dreams, the free guide. I have a page dedicated to the channeled messages. And I have a page dedicated to A Course in Miracles. And then I have a page dedicated to the books. And in addition, I scribed, I think it's a total of five, and they're like booklets that have specific themes, and I'm in the process of working with the web person to put them on the book page. But I love these short versions. They're like 9,000 words, and they came to me. I'll give you just a couple of titles, because it must have been that's where my heart was and what I needed to know for myself. Mostly everything I get is I need to know it for myself, and then I'll share it with others. But one, like A Lightworker's Guide to Fulfilling Your Destiny, was the first one that I got, small booklet, all channeled. And the another one is Aligning with the Source of Healing, which was such a beautiful thing. The next one after that was Your Role in Co-Creating. What are some of the other ones? Navigating Transitions. I love this one, Spirit Messages for Turbulent Times. So they're very specific to what you might be looking for, what you're going through, or wanting to have some support in. And those will eventually, in the next, hopefully next month, will also be under the book, in the book page.
Nice. So they're little small bite-sized booklets that if you wanted to just dip your toes into it, you can experience a little bit of this. Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's so awesome. Or we'll definitely look forward to having those available. So where can people find your book? And you'll have another book in the works, right? So tell us about that.
So the first book that's already out available for purchase is called Dreaming Miracles, Spiritual Messages That Help and Heal. And that is the book that we talked about before about the each individual chapter. And these are published by Sunbury Press. So they can go directly to Sunbury Press website and purchase there. They also are available on Dreaming Miracles is available on Amazon currently. The next book, when Nishaya's teachings, is Freedom Now. And the working title, the working subtitle is Transforming Life Experiences into Miraculous Moments. So that is Nishaya's teachings about how, you know, we go through our life experiences, and each experience has a wealth of information and depth of knowledge and transformation that can happen in every life experience. So he teaches us how to use our life experiences to really expand our state of consciousness. That one is in the works with Sunbury Press. I'm in the current process of editing, which is always interesting. So that will probably be available in summer, maybe early summer.
Well, we will look forward to that. We will put links to all of this in the show notes if anyone is interested, including her books. Please check them out. They sound so full of content. It sounds like it's definitely like from the heart space. And I'm so glad that you came on, Patty, to share this. I think this is so beneficial to all of us. And I just want to say thank you for coming on and sharing this. It's just been really a treasure. Thank you.
I love sharing it. You know, when you share things, maybe you probably know what I'm talking about. When you share things, it is a part of integrating it more for yourself. But there's a feeling that you have with the giving. So when you receive so much, and then you are able to share it and give it, and then other people receive it, and then it makes an impact on their life. It's like the circle, you know, it's like coming full circle. So I love to talk about it because it's been so influential and impactful in my own life. And it helps me when you talk about it and when you scribe or when you have a spiritual dream. Yes, the message is absolutely important, but it's a feeling. It's like you're connecting to that essence just by having the dream, just by doing the automatic writing, just by having a vision. You are in that space. And when you're in that space, you naturally feel everything that we all want to feel. We feel connected, we feel unified, we feel peaceful. We feel joyful no matter what's going on in our lives. And, you know, I've had many life experiences, as I'm sure many people have, where your world is rocked and it's scary sometimes. But when I talk about it, I can feel myself in that space. And that's why it's a gift back to myself, because then I get to feel it again. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. I hope everyone has enjoyed this episode. I know I sure did. And thank you, Patty, for sharing this.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.